Laudato Jesus Christus. This is the English program of Vatican Radio.
Hello and welcome to the program. I'm Tracy McClure. Coming up over the next half hour, Pope Benedict calls on Israelis and Palestinians to be courageous and far-sighted as they resume peace talks. Ambassadors and religious from the Holy Land react to the Pope's words to diplomats in his annual address on Monday. And Egypt's ambassador has words of praise for the Pope's speech, especially his words on young people, the movers and shakers of the Arab Spring. His address to diplomats accredited to the Holy See on Monday, Pope Benedict spoke of the Holy Land, where he said tensions between Palestinians and Israelis affect the stability of the entire Middle East. In urging the two sides to commit to peace talks, the Pope said it is necessary that the leaders of these two peoples adopt courageous and far-sighted decisions in favor of peace. The Holy Father added he was pleased to learn that following an initiative of the Kingdom of Jordan, dialogue has been resumed, and expressed his hope that it will be maintained and that it will lead to a lasting peace which guarantees the right of the two peoples to dwell in security in sovereign states and within secure and internationally recognized borders. Well, Israel's ambassador to the Holy See, Mordecai Levy, was among diplomats present for the papal speech in the Vatican. He told me he was pleased that the Holy Father mentioned these new developments in the peace process. The Holy Father, in his speech on Monday, stressed the need for leaders of both sides to adopt courageous and far-sighted decisions in favor of peace. It seems to me that the former Prime Minister Yitzhak Rabin was one Israeli leader who possessed that kind of courage that Pope Benedict was talking about. Do the current Israeli leaders possess similar courage and farsightedness to achieve peace at this moment?
I would not only mention Rabin, the late Rabin, also the unfortunate fateful Sharon has been able to make farsighted steps. And courageous steps, definitely, when he left Gaza, if you remember, several years ago. So it is not a prerequisite of only one person. It is true that in order to make such steps as required, you have to be very far-sighted and not to talk and to think of the next elections. And this is a democracy in Israel, which unfortunately sometimes politicians do think about their next elections. Nevertheless, I think I'm very much pleased that the Holy Father mentioned this new development, which are indeed encouraging. Resuming talks after a stalemate of longer than 1 year is definitely good news. And even better news is that Jordan this time stepped in and is a facilitator. And we know that we are not a prophet. We don't know what will come out. But it cannot be worse than of not talking. So I think the Holy Father saw the light in the window. And he encouraged the light to be stronger. And I think that's very much welcome by us.
Israel must feel particularly vulnerable at this time with what is happening in neighboring countries such as Syria, Egypt, Lebanon, also the threat of a nuclear Iran. And in his discourse, Pope Benedict alluded to the tensions between Palestinians and Israelis as affecting the stability of the entire Middle East. Would peace now with Palestinians add to Israel's regional security?
Well, I do not endorse that the Palestinian and Israeli conflict is the the nucleus of the tension in the Middle East. The Middle East has many sources of instability and tension, and you mentioned some of them which are not necessarily connected with our own conflict with our immediate neighbors, the Palestinians. What I would like to stress more that there is a prescription in a way in his words, what he would like to envisage as a vision of peace, two state sovereign states with internationally recognized border, with secure borders. I think this is a recipe which everybody could endorse in Israel, and I hope, hopefully also in among Palestinians. Nevertheless, I think peace will come when the time will mature, when politicians will be courageous. And I think the Holy Father did the right thing in order to encourage them to be courageous.
Now, last year we saw the start of a UN process that could lead to the international recognition of Palestine as a state. The Holy Father mentioned the two-state solution himself.
This is not a new thing. This is an ingredient which he mentioned already during his visit in 2009.
Okay. However, in this context, he was perhaps speaking of the need of the international community to be more creative in developing initiatives to promote the peace process. Do you see this as part of the creativity that the international community has been lacking so far?
No, I think this is actually a hidden, a salient criticism towards the UN-directed efforts of the Palestinians to do it on a unilateral basis without any negotiations. So it can be understood that he is not very pleased with what has been done in the UN on behalf of the Palestinians. And this is actually what I understood also from the Foreign Minister's Mamberti's speech in the plenum in the UN, because on the one side, welcoming a two-state solution, which is okay. On the other side, not only to take a multilateral step without having the endorsement and the negotiations before. And all in all, you can say that the UN effort until now failed. And it failed not because it is not just to have a state, but I think the modus which the Palestinians has chosen was not the most effective one.
So finally, what sort of creative efforts would Israel like to see from the international
community? The creativity lies in the compromise. The formula of peace is a formula of compromise. And I think in order to get a compromise, you need to be creative and to be able to satisfy domestic pressures and international needs.
And thanks there to Israel's ambassador to the Holy See, Mordechai Levy. Well, the Palestinian representative to the Holy See, Mr. Shawki Armali from the PLO, was also among diplomats in the Vatican Monday for the Pope's address. When I spoke with him following that audience, Mr. Armali lamented what he sees as obstacles to effective peace negotiations, ongoing Israeli settlement policy, and the appropriation of Palestinian land in East Jerusalem, which the Palestinians hope one day to make their capital. But the PLO representative reacted positively to Pope Benedict's comments about the renewed Jordan-brokered peace talks between Israelis and Palestinians.
He was very, let's say, hoping that these negotiations could go again, so all the parties will have their rights and the right to have their own state. This was very, I think, a very good statement, according that the negotiations have been stopped since more than 5 or 6 months. But the problem is that the Israelis are still going on in the settlement policy, and they refuse that the reference of any negotiations would be the resolutions of the Security Council. We have presented at the last meeting our views to how to pursue the negotiations, and the Israelis are supposed to answer all these points in the next meeting, which will be held, I think, at 26 or 27 of this month. But for the time being, there has been not any encouraging sign from the Netanyahu government that he would stop settlements or that he accepts to refer to the Security Council resolutions.
Yes. The Pope was speaking about these talks, and he said that there is a need for the leaders of both sides to adopt courageous and far-sighted decisions in favor of peace.
Exactly.
Do you think that the Palestinian leaders now possess similar courage and far-sightedness that the Pope is talking about?
We have been always. You see, the policy of President Mahmoud Abbas has been always that any solution to our problems with the Israelis must come through negotiations. But these negotiations must have a good starting point. So I think that the Pope has invited to the international community to be creative, to be inventive in making such negotiations go on smoothly, and we are ready to come to negotiation again if the settlements policy of Mr. Netanyahu stops and if his steps in East Jerusalem stop too.
Last year, we saw the start of a UN process that could lead to international recognition of Palestine as a state. And in fact, as you were mentioning, the Pope expressed his hope that peace talks would lead to a lasting peace, which guarantees the right of the two peoples to dwell in security in sovereign states.
Yes.
What was your take on that comment of the Pope's?
No, we do hope with him that this year should be a new year where we see the Israeli part and the Palestinian part go on through negotiations, but on solid ground, on solid conditions, you see, not to go to negotiation for the sake of negotiation, but for the sake of attaining a result, concrete result. That's our position, and we continue to be, you see, very willing to make a solution, a result, under these conditions. We have to think over again, you see, and to make the necessary pressure on the Israeli government in order to come with new ideas about how to continue the negotiations in a serene and very calm atmosphere, which would make some concrete results.
So are you saying that if Israel doesn't make these concessions in terms of stopping settlements and annexing land in Jerusalem, are you saying that you will go ahead with your bid at the UN in other ways to become recognized internationally as a state?
Yes, it has nothing to do, you see, with the negotiations. When we presented our candidature to the UN, we said it doesn't mean that we will stop negotiations. It doesn't mean that it's a blow to our fixed policy, to our constant policy, which must be negotiations, you see. And we will see how to do with this, because for the moment there are some problems, especially with the U.S. government, which, as you know, has said that he will oppose its veto. But we will see what will be the best way for us, that this demand continues to be examined by the Security Council or by the General Assembly if we see that there is no hope with the Security Council. We are studying all these options for the time being.
Realistically, then, what do you think the current talks being brokered by Jordan can achieve?
We hope a lot, you see, as Pope Benedictus has expressed it, that the efforts of Jordan would continue in order to achieve a certain result, you see. And we know, all of us, that Jordan is itself against the settlement policy of the Israeli government and other practices. But we hope that there will be other parties in the international field, like the U.S., like the European Union, which will exert their pressure, you see, so that these negotiations could come again, you see, with a certain result.
PLO Representative Shawki Armali. And now for reaction from the Catholic Church in the Holy Land to Pope Benedict's comments on the peace process, we now hear from the Latin Patriarch of Jerusalem, Fuad Twal, who told Philippa Hitchin peace would encourage many native Christians to remain in the land of Christ's birth.
Thanks God we have some families who had the courage to bring back their children from the States to start a new job, new work, new fabrics here in the Holy Land in Jerusalem. We have some good examples. They don't want to leave. Others, they don't believe our speech, they don't believe the speech of His Holiness. When they see the situation, the past, the present, the future, they don't believe us and they leave. What we can do here. But we cannot stop preaching them to have hope and to stay and to be courageous. I can say maybe the Muslims are more courageous in the refugee camp. They have from 8 to 14 children and they stay. Our people are nice, good, we like them. They are a little bit spoiled and they leave quickly.
The Pope also talked about the importance of the support of the international community. What role do you really see from the international community today? Or is the answer, can the answer only come from inside Israel and Palestine?
No, we are an integral part from the Universal Church. We need the Universal Church. We need from outside. We need these people here spending 2 days not to be satisfied with the speech and promises and visits and so on. We need them to be more involved in practical project in our daily day, our daily life, in our projects, in our schools, in our institutions. They must move more than speech. It is okay to speech. We have a big solidarity, thanks God, from outside, from Europe, from the States. We hope to have more and more, see people more involved in our life, our daily life. There is big solidarity, that's right, but what we need more does not arrive till now. We need normal life and we need peace.
We've been talking here about the effects of the Arab Spring on the region. What effect have you seen that having here on people in the Palestinian territories?
Well, till now, this Arab Spring didn't arrive to Palestinian territories, not arrive to Israel, but I'm sure it is coming, whether with violence, is coming, whether peacefully. Quickly or late, it is coming, and I think the regime, whether in Israel, the Arab world, and in Palestine, they must think about it and prepare themselves. Maybe they have to take some concrete steps to welcome this Arab Spring for the good of their population. Yeah. Otherwise, they will be surprised by it, and it can be too late.
Father David Neuhaus is no newcomer to the problems of a Holy Land in conflict. From a Jewish Israeli family, Father David is now a Catholic priest who cares for the Hebrew-speaking Catholic community in the Holy Land. He tells Philippa Hitchin, Christians must keep up their hope that political leaders will find a solution to the decades-old conflict.
As religious leaders, we are called always to look for signs of hope, and so when we look hard, we find them. But I must say that it's very difficult to convince our faithful that indeed there is some light at the end of the tunnel. some of us are trying to underline the fact that the whole of the Middle East is going through an upheaval. And that upheaval might already be a sign that something is happening that's going to bring about change for the good. I must be perfectly honest and say that we don't yet see anything palpably changed for the good. But as I say, we as religious leaders are continually called by our mission to look for those signs and to point to them and to say, God is good, God is faithful, and indeed all that we need will come in due time. In the meantime, we need to be patient. The Israeli society is in upheaval, the societies around us are in upheaval, and our hope is that this is a shaking up, and a shaking up that when things settle, things will be better.
In concrete terms, what effect did the Arab Spring over the past months have on the mentality of the Palestinians and the Israelis here?
Okay, it's very mixed. On the one hand, there is a sense that the Arab Spring is a real expression of the desires of peoples for freedom, for more dignity, more respect, more hope, more stability. On the other hand, that there is an enormous fear that kind of shaking up might, and this is the fear of our faithful, lead to a chaotic situation in which their personal security is under threat. And so it's a very, very mixed sense in the meantime. We don't see very clearly where this is leading to. I think that that is pretty much a sense that is shared by the person in the street, whether Jew, Christian, or Muslim. But because the Christians are the most fragile of the communities, without any real kick in society, they are the ones that are looking on this with perhaps the most anxiety and perhaps also the most to gain if something good comes out of what has been called the Arab Spring.
You're talking about an increased polarization of society here in Israel, though, aren't you? We hear a lot about the increased fundamentalism on the Muslim side, but also you're seeing it within Israeli society, political and religious.
Absolutely. First of all, of course, social. There's an incredible polarization in Israel now, and there is a fear that there will no longer be a shared language within Israeli society. And this touches upon the most fundamental aspects of all spheres of life, social, political, economic, and of course religious as well. What we are seeing is there is a shift to the right, but within Israeli society there is also this increasing rift, almost an abyss opening up between peoples with different worldviews and the sense that what is holding Israeli society together. And we can only hope and pray that the only thing, some say the only thing that is holding the society together is a sense of being threatened by an outside enemy. Let us hope that that's not true, that Israeli society too will come to some point of cohesion where Israelis have a sense of who they are so that they can responsibly engage in a dialogue that will lead to a better future of justice and peace for all.
And yet you talk almost jokingly of two states, no longer a Palestinian and an Israeli state, but a religious state in Jerusalem and a secular state in Tel Aviv, and Israelis must choose between which is the future for them.
I'm going to say that that's not my joke. That's a joke that is shared and talked about in Israeli society. And of course it illustrates the sad state of affairs that we're in right now. There is one part of the Israeli population that is committed to working towards a better future in which democracy is strengthened, equality is strengthened, and there is a real search for justice for the Palestinians and peace with our Arab neighbors. But there is another part of the Israeli population that is increasingly closed in, that is increasingly talking a language in which there isn't any place for democracy or any place for equality, and as a result, probably no place for peace either with our neighbors. And I think that many Israelis are very scared of that as well.
You heard one of the leaders of the settlers say that very publicly in Parliament, didn't you, just recently?
Not in Parliament. This was reported in yesterday's newspaper that Benny Katsover, a very important leader of the settler movement in the West Bank, said, perhaps the time has come to put up democracy aside. We must go back to Judaism. And what I pointed out is that that is a very, very parallel expression to what we hear from some parts of the Muslim Arab world, where some Muslim fundamentalists are saying exactly the same kind of thing.
As religious leaders, do you have any concrete ideas, any new proposals to try and combat this polarization?
We certainly need to be aware of the very important role we can play in speaking responsibly. Everything focuses on language. We don't have political clout. We are not an important lobby. But we are certainly people who are educating other people. And what we need to be aware of is that the words that come out of our mouths create worlds. And those words need to be poised, prudent, wise, and of course when it comes to us as Christian leaders, evangelical, full of respect and love for others, hope. They need to create new worlds that don't exist yet, but if we start speaking sincerely and honestly about the type of worlds that we can imagine, then perhaps we will have some kind of influence as we move from where we are right now towards a better future.
So our focus very much continues to be on schools, education of young people, particularly for a future here.
Absolutely. The church is playing a very important role as educator. But of course, in our schools, first and foremost, where we educate new generations, but it needs also to be in our homilies, in our declarations to the press, in our addressing within interreligious dialogue, our Muslim and Jewish brothers and sisters. Us as church, we need to be very much aware that we have a very heavy responsibility to speak in a way that can open possibilities that seem at this moment quite closed.
Well, we heard Patriarch Twal and Father David speak there about the impact of the Arab Spring on the Holy Land. And in his speech to diplomats, Pope Benedict made reference to the Arab Spring, too. Though Pope Benedict did not actually name Egypt in his speech, it would have come to the mind of many when the Holy Father highlighted North Africa and the Middle East, where he said young people have launched a vast movement calling for reforms and a more active share in political and social life. Egyptian Ambassador Lamia Ali Hamada Mekhamar told me that she was not surprised the Pope did not mention her country by name in his discourse, as Egypt, she noted, is just one of many countries participating in the Arab Spring.
I was not surprised at all, because this is a wave that is taking the whole north of Africa and maybe the whole Middle East, also in other parts of the Middle East. So it's not only in Egypt. Of course, Egypt is a leading country in the region, but I did not expect him to address Egypt in particular. I think he did very well by mentioning the whole phenomenon as a general phenomenon in our part of the region, which is true also that it is some events that we are all in the Middle East sharing, with some differences here and there, but all calling for the same things: freedom, reform, social justice, and better economic conditions. Did not go into details, but hoped for the best in for the region, and praised our youth for and also expressed some understanding, which is very important, to their cause and their hopes and their aspirations. And you know, it's very important to show some understanding for all these matters, and to share with our people these very intense moments.
Egypt's ambassador to the Holy See, Lamia Mekhamar. Well, that's all we have time for today. Thanks for listening. I'm Tracy McClure. If you'd like to hear this and other programs on our website, the address is www.vaticanradio.org. Again, thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the English program of Vatican Radio. Laudato Jesus Christus.